Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Proverbs chapter 29 tonight. Book of Proverbs chapter number 29. Only 8 pages of notes to get through tonight, and it's only 6:30. It takes me about 25 minutes to get warmed up. So we're good to go, amen? I'll try to read as fast as I can tonight. But on a serious note, it is good to be here. And Justin, it's good to see God working in your life, because we know that's been on your heart for these last few months. And so you're a likable guy. I don't see why they wouldn't like you. So let's do this right now. It's encouraging to see Doug as he's celebrating his anniversary day of being saved and being sober. Let's pray for these two guys. Lord, we thank you for Doug. We thank you, Lord, for getting a hold of his heart. We thank you for a year of sobriety. We thank you for his year of salvation. Lord, as this coming year comes upon him, I pray that you just continue to use him. We thank you for Justin and for the job that you provided him, and possibly another bigger opportunity for him within the company. Lord, if for some reason he doesn't have peace, I pray that you help him to see that. But God, I pray that is if you move him in this next area in his life, that you just give him the skills, the wisdom, and the ability to do everything that is asked of him. We thank you, Lord, for providing this job for him. We ask these things in your name. Amen. The book of Proverbs, chapter number 29 tonight, we're going to read verse number 18. It says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish, but he that keepeth the law, happy is he." The word speedy is what we have been going through these last few weeks, and just kind of reiterate thus far what we have studied. We sought out the first letter, S, which stands for support. We sought out the second letter, participate or participation. We sought out the third letter last week, and that is to evangelize, evangelize. And last week, we covered the word exercise. All the words are to be practiced and to be lived by a believer, not just inside their home, but also in the family of God as well. As we just read in Scripture, it says, "Where there is no vision, the people perish." So often, the churchgoer believes it is only the pastor who is to have the vision for the future of the church. This would be true in many cases, but God's people are to have a vision as well. No different than a family getting together, having a vision, having a goal for their family to continue to succeed in the areas that God wants them to. So from the word vision, there comes a word that will fit this, and that is the word direction. Probably many of you tonight probably thought I was going to go with the word disciple, and I'll be honest with you, I thought about that for quite some time, but I wanted to go with the word direction. Where does our direction and where does our vision come from tonight? Tonight we're going to deal with 5 different ways that our direction / vision will come from. And I hope it will be a blessing to you all. But in order to be blessed, guess what? You have to be in the right frame of mind. You have to be in the right frame of mind. The first place that we need to get direction from is from the Scriptures. Amen to that. In order for this church to continue to go forth, in order for this church to continue to be successful, is first of all, we must be in the Word of God. No different in your homes. If you want your family life to be successful, if you want your children to continue following in the Lord, guess what you have to do, Mom and Dad? You have to get your children in the Word of God. That should be their sole authority. So this is a place where God speaks to us directly. The Scriptures are the primary means of divine guidance, but we often use rich and meaningful words to describe the confidence that we have in the Bible. But if you're like me, we need to have it mean something else as well. And let me put it to you this way. We can describe it even in a better way to where a child can understand it, and that is this. The Bible says what it is, and God is saying it. Amen? If you want to hear God speak, then you must read God's Word. I've heard so many people, well, I just don't hear God speaking to me, and I don't feel God speaking to me. Well, we can't feel that way if we're not opening up his word. So if you want God to speak to you, then you must open up his word. Amen to that. Psalms chapter 119, verse 105. You don't have to turn there. I'm going to read this. It says, "Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my path." In order to see the light, you must do what? Turn on the light. In order to have God speak to you, and I'm going back to this again, you must open up the word of God. And if you want people to see a light in you, then you must be partaking in that light. It's no wonder so many of God's people are running around without any direction in life. It's because they refuse to get direction from the Word of God. If you want to have direction, if you want to have a vision of life from God, I'm going to say this as much as I can in these next few moments: get in God's Word. That's where we need to be. So often, so many people refuse to get directions from God's Word. But I don't understand why people generally don't read the Bible. Normally, they don't read it because they don't have a desire to. But normally, here's what happens when they want to read it. It's usually because they're in need of something. Kind of like what I said this morning about prayer. So often, people only pray when they're in need of something. As if God doesn't know, you don't seek to get direction from him. This is a big reason that we have part-time believers. We don't have just part-time believers in this church, but we have part-time believers in churches across the world. And I'm not here to condemn them. I wish they're here, to be honest with you. I miss the fellowship. I truly do. You might say, well, I just don't have the time. Life is so busy for me. Have we heard that at all this week? Somebody says something to you, man, I just don't have the time to do this. Or you could be at your job and your boss comes to you and say, hey, I want this done. And their reaction is, well, I just don't have time to do this. And that might be true, but I've learned in life, you do have time. It's just a matter of prioritizing your time. That's what it's about. I'm not saying this to be mean, but a lot of the young people have no idea what it really means to be busy. And that's just a fact of life here. Well, why don't you just then cry me a river? Because you just don't have enough time in your life. Maybe it's because you're just selfish with it. Amen? We fail to realize how selfish we are with our own time. A lack of direction, I just lost everything. A lack of direction from God shows in the life of a believer who don't seek it. Again, you want God to speak and give you direction in life, then if you want that, then seek his word. The second place tonight that we will get direction from and that we can able to have a better vision from is through the Holy Spirit. The Holy Spirit enables us to help us understand God's word. It's true that when we open up the Word of God, we don't always have the natural ability to understand everything. Some of us are slow learners. Some of us get things rather quickly, but there's some who are not that way. And so in order for us to be able to understand the Word of God that we're going to get into to get direction from, who's going to give us that understanding? It's no other than the Holy Spirit. And he's able to do those things. So he helps us, he enables us to understand God's word. And then after that, he gives us the ability to do God's will. John 14, verse number 26. Let's go ahead and turn there. John 14, verse number 26. If you got to do what I do sometimes, especially as you get older, you got to say this: Matthew, Mark, Luke, John. But John chapter 14, verse number 26 says this: "But the Comforter, which is the Holy Ghost, whom the Father will send in my name, he shall teach you all things and bring all things to your remembrance whatsoever I have said unto you." John 16, verse number 13, just a few chapters over. Go ahead and turn over there and we'll read this. It says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth." By the way, let me back up, and I want you to go back to verse number 26 real quick and find something really quick what the Holy Spirit is going to do, because we're going to go over this here in a little bit. So let's read this again in verse number 13 of chapter number 16. It says, "Howbeit, when he, the Spirit of truth, is come, he will guide you into all truth, for he shall not speak of himself, but whatsoever he shall hear, that shall he speak, and he will show you things to come." So if you go back to John chapter 14, what's it say there? He will teach you. And then in chapter number 16, verse 13, it says he will guide you. Okay? So we got these that are coming to our mind. Not only does the Holy Spirit teach you, but now we'll see in more scripture how he will guide us. Acts chapter number 13. Go ahead and turn there. Acts chapter number 13. We're going to read many verses tonight here. Verse number 2. Remember, he's teaching us, he's guiding us, and now we're going to see some things in scripture where he is guiding and where he is teaching. It says in verse number 2, "As they ministered to the Lord and fasted, the Holy Ghost said, Separate me, Barnabas and Saul, for the work whereunto I have called them." Acts chapter 15, verse number 28. Acts chapter 15, verse number 28, it says this, "For it seemed good to the Holy Ghost and to us to lay upon you no greater burden than these necessary things." Verse number 7 is chapter number 16. It says this. Go ahead and turn there. Just the next chapter over. "After they were come to Messiah, they essayed to go into Bithynia, but the Spirit suffered them not." The third way that we need direction is through godly counsel. So as we've gone through this, how do we get direction? How do we get the vision? First of all, we get involved in Scripture. Two, we allow the Holy Spirit to begin to teach us, and we allow the Holy Spirit to guide us. And as we go along our journey in life, he's going to teach us the things that we need to know. He's going to guide us into the areas where we need to go. He's going to give us and direct us with vision. And so the third way tonight is through godly counsel. The book of Proverbs makes a strong case for seeking godly counsel. But so often, church counsel is even ignored today, thus taking people down the wrong path that isn't godly. And I can't understand for the life of me why people will reject godly counsel. I don't understand why men and women will reject the Word of God for counsel. They'll reject godly counsel from men that are in the church, but they'll go to these self-help books that man has come up with their own ideas of what they think is right, and nothing is from Scripture. And if it happens to be from Scripture, then they'll take Scripture just like Satan, and then they'll begin to twist it, and then men and women who were once godly begin to believe in the lies that are being portrayed from these very pages. And what happens when that takes place, when you seek ungodly counsel, then you'll begin to reject the actual truth of God's Word. And then when you reject the truth of God's Word, you no longer have a direction that you're going. You no longer have a vision that's given to you by God. So it's important for you and I to accept godly counsel. We shouldn't ignore it. It's there for us at our beckoning call. And somehow through this, they convince themselves, I've gone this way because it is of the will of God. The will of God does not take you down a path to reject His Word. If that is what you're thinking, then please take this with I'm trying to be nice, I'm saying this. If you think it's the will of God for you to reject God the counsel, then the only way I can say it is you're foolish. That's just the best way that I can say that. The pastor might not have all the right answers, and that is true in many cases. But he is more on the right path than the unwise counsel. Why is that? Because he's seeking direction from the Word of God. And if you're seeking direction from the Word of God, you cannot go wrong. But if you're seeking counsel outside of the Word of God, that's when problems will come in. Let us, for the next few moments, look at God's Word and see what godly counseling will do for us. We're going to go to the book of Proverbs, and we're going to go through a few verses here. So go ahead and turn back with me to Proverbs chapter number 11. I hope I'm not going too fast tonight. I do have a lengthy amount of notes to get through tonight. I found a new thing on my computer that I was wanting a couple months ago, and I saw up in the top right-hand corner, because I'm not a very fast typer. It takes me a while to do some things, but I'm quick, but I'm not quick like ladies are fast when they type. When I see some ladies type, I've seen Teresa type, I've seen Chris type, and I tell you what, there's smoke coming off of those keyboards. And I'm thinking, how is this computer able to keep up with them? And Q, I'm like this. Like that. That's how I am. So I found something in the right-hand corner of the computer. It says dictate. Has a microphone. I'm like, oh, glory to God. I'm able to use that now, and it helps me out. But I come to find out it's making my note-taking a lot longer, more pages. That's what I'm getting at here. But anyway, I don't know why I said this, but turn your Bibles to the book of Proverbs chapter number 11. You got to take a commercial break every once in a while during the preaching so you know people are with you. Proverbs chapter number 11, and we're going to see some godly counsel and what it will do for us and the benefits. Verse number 14, it says this, let me get here, it says, where no counsel is, say it with me, the people fall. So we need godly counsel, because if there is no counsel, the people will fall. But it goes on and says, but in a multitude of counselors, there is safety. Safety. When you're inside godly counsel, there is safety. Go ahead and turn to the next chapter, chapter number 12. We'll read in verse number 15. It says this, the way of a fool is right in his own eyes, but he that hearkeneth unto counsel is wise. So there are benefits to having godly counsel in our lives. Chapter number 15, go ahead and turn there. Aren't you glad I made it easier for you tonight, as I'm trying to stay in a certain area for you to go to Scripture? Chapter number 15, verse number 22, it says, without counsel, purposes are disappointed, but in the multitude of counselors, they are established. Go ahead with me and turn to Proverbs chapter number 19. Proverbs chapter number 19, we'll read verse number 20 here. It says, hear counsel. So not only are we supposed to get godly counsel, but when we get godly counsel, what are we supposed to do? We're to hear. And when we hear something, what are we to do with that? Then we take that counsel that we sat ourselves underneath as we hear it, and then because it's godly counsel, then, Isaac, we apply it to our lives. It's a good thing to get godly counsel, but then it's a foolish thing to get godly counsel. It's a good thing to take it and use it, but then it's a foolish thing to get the godly counsel and then reject it. So let's continue reading this verse here, chapter number 19, verse number 20. It says this again, hear counsel and receive instruction, that thou mayest be wise in thy latter end. So when you hear it, it's for your benefit so that you can receive the instructions that you're going to need, whether it's in an area of marriage, whether it's in an area of finance, whether it's in an area of a coworker and how to handle a situation. It's for your benefit tonight. Proverbs chapter number 24. This is a quick way to go through the whole book of Proverbs. Proverbs chapter number 24. Matter of fact, this past week I've actually read through. I finished up in the book of Psalms, and now I'm in the midst of Proverbs here. I love the book of Proverbs. Have you guys? I got to take a time out. Have you guys searched as you're going through Facebook? Does pastors' YouTube come up on for Proverbs? You know, I'm gonna fill you on a secret. When he was alive, I never watched him. I had a reason why I didn't watch him. Because I knew my dad was not going to be here much longer. And I was going to watch him after he passed. Now they're popping up and I'm seeing them. And now I'm able to sit and listen to the instructions that he has from Proverbs. It's amazing, even while he's in heaven, through devices, that's the word I'm wanting to get at tonight, through devices, we're still able to benefit from his teachings. That's encouraging to me. So we hear counsel, and then we are to receive it. Proverbs chapter number 24, it says this, verse number 6. It says, "For by wise counsel thou shalt make thy war, and a multitude of counselor," here it is again, "there is safety." The fourth area for direction tonight for us to have a vision as well is through common sense. Common sense. So go ahead and turn your Bibles back to Proverbs chapter number 3. What is common sense, and how can we use this for direction in our life? And I'm so thrilled that you asked that question, because I'm going to answer it for you here in two verses. Chapter 3 of Proverbs, verse number 5 and 6, here's where common sense kicks in, and it says, "Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, lean not unto thine own understanding, in all thy ways acknowledge him, and he shall do what? Direct thy paths." So common sense tells us that we're to put our faith and trust in him, and then it tells us, because we're trusting in him, we're not to lean unto our own understanding, because our own understanding is not wise all the time. It's confusing because we make things complicated. But the Bible's simple. All it says is in this verse, trust in the Lord with all thine heart. That's common sense. But it's hard to do. It says at the end of there, he says, "And he shall direct thy paths." The hardest thing that I've come to realize as I've gotten older in the Lord is this, is for me to continue to put my trust in him every single day. Why is that hard? Because I want to do things my way. Because I think my ways are easier than the ways of God. And so I want to do it my way. And so I have a hard time trusting him. But we fail to realize that he knows what is best for us. And another verse for us to use for common sense is found in 1 Peter chapter number 4. Let's go ahead and turn there. 1 Peter chapter number 4. It's right after the book of James. 1 Peter chapter number 4. Verse number 7. Well, let's back up to verse number 6, then we'll read down to verse number 7. It says, For this cause was the gospel preached also to them that are dead, that they might be judged according to man and flesh, but live according to God and the Spirit. But the end of all things is at hand. Here's where common sense kicks in again. Be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Again, how are we going to have direction in our life? How are we going to have a vision in our life for us to continue to go forth? And that is through the avenue of what? Prayer. Not a trick question. Through the avenue of prayer. Here in 2 weeks, we're going to close down our Wednesday night program with the kids over in the gymnasium on September 7th. We're going to come back in here, and we're going to meet like we've normally met. We're going to have 4 songs, maybe 5 songs, maybe 10 songs. I don't know, whatever Jeff's thinking about. I just seen Teresa looking, what? 10 songs? I wouldn't do that to you. We're going to have a quick devotion. The women are going to be up here, and the men are going downstairs. And what are we going to do? We're going to pray. What are we going to pray for? We're going to pray for direction from God, that he gives us a vision to keep going forth. It's going to be very specific. It's going to be very beneficial for this church. Trust in the Lord with all thine heart, and lean not on thine understanding. Verse number 7 says this in 1 Peter, but the end of all things at hand, be therefore sober and watch unto prayer. Finally tonight, the fifth area is through our circumstances. Though we may not realize it at the time, sometimes we can go back and look and see how God was working in our circumstances for what? To accomplish His will in our life. Take example for the book of Acts. How did Paul and Silas end up sitting in the house of the Philippine jailer? I'm hungry tonight. Sitting in the house of the Philippine jailer, eating and rejoicing with a family of new believers. And you can find that in the book of Acts, of chapter number 16, verse number 34. Let's go ahead and read this. Acts chapter 16, verse number 34. Says here, verse number 34, says, and when he had brought them into his house, he set meat before them and rejoiced, believing in God with all his house. Just some final thoughts here tonight as we continue to wind down. You found in the book of Genesis chapter 50, verse number 20. Let's go ahead and turn there. Genesis chapter 50, verse number 20. It reads this. It says, but as for you, ye thought evil against me, but God meant it unto good, to bring to pass as it is this day, to save much people alive. There is direction through our circumstances. Go ahead and turn your Bibles to the book of Romans chapter number 8. The book of Romans chapter number 8 tonight. Trust me, we're winding down. I've gone through this rather quick for you. Verse number 28 says this. It says, and we know that all things, say it with me, work together for good to them that love God, to them who are called according to His purposes, to His purpose. We can have direction and we can get vision through our circumstances. One last thought as I close out tonight. We need to have a vision tonight. We need to have a direction tonight. This final thought with vision and direction in life leads us to a word that I was going to use originally, but it leads us to disciple. We got to have a vision to have some sort of direction to disciple new believers, to have an impact on their life. You've heard me for years brag about a guy named Uriah, who I was able to disciple for quite some time. Now we're seeing benefits of another young man in our church who has been discipled. And this was not a part of what I was wanting to talk about tonight. But Carolyn approached me a couple weeks ago, and she was saying, Chad, I really want to teach myself out of Wednesday nights. She's busy with school. She teaches all day long, and she knew what she was doing. She even said something before she went off to camp. But we have a young man tonight who is going to step in and take that role. Isn't that exciting, Carolyn? And she's going to be with you. That's exciting. We got to have direction to disciple. It is a horrible thing when newly saved people perish because a lack of vision, because a lack of direction from God's people. Proverbs chapter number 29, verse number 18 says this, where no vision is, the people perish. Folks, we got to have a vision. We got to seek direction to a world that needs us. And once that world sees that they need Christ in their life and they come to salvation, that direction is going to lead us to disciple them. And what a fantastic opportunity it is for every single one of us to have a part in their life. I don't know when Kurt's going to bring this up. I know we're going to go through this. And he's got more experience than I have in the aspect of winning souls to Christ. He's spent the last 20 years in Pensacola going door to door, not just door to door, but he takes the opportunity to put tracks on cars, whether he's in a grocery store, where he's playing golf last week, and before he got even in the truck to come back home, he's putting tracks on cars that are around us. And so I'm looking forward to him giving us a class. I don't know how long it's going to be, but he's going to give us a class to give us direction so that we can go out, win souls to Christ, and then we can disciple them. I don't know about you folks. I'm excited. I'm excited for what God's doing and what he will continue to do in his church. So speedy, support, participate, evangelize, exercise, and direction. And we'll deal with the last letter next week, Lord willing, and then we'll go on from there. Let's have a word of prayer, and we'll be dismissed. Thank you all for coming out today. Thank you for being supportive and participating and all those things that we just talked about, and I trust you have a great week. Lord, we thank you for this night that you've given us. We ask that you continue to direct our path this week. As we come across people we may have never known before or even never met before, but God, as we encounter these people, help us to have a vision for them, to give them a gospel so that they can know how to come to you as their Lord and Savior. Lord, tonight, I thank you for what you've done today. I thank you for the things that you have blessed in tonight. Lord, as I close out tonight, I just want to lift up Brother Marvin and his wife to you, the health struggles that they've had these last few weeks. I pray that you bring healing to their body. I pray for my Uncle Bill tonight as he goes back in for more tests. Lord, we pray for good results. And Lord, if the results aren't what we want them to be, God, I pray that you'd give the doctors direction on how to be able to help him out. And we ask you these things, Lord, in your name. Amen.